Hi everyone, Sane Man here. This video isn't brought to you by any donations. I just had something that's been on my mind that I just had to get out there. If you want to suggest a topic, you can do so through PayPal, through my email, that I've linked down below. So I began to wonder to what lengths women were willing to go to in order to keep their standard of life up and shut men down from talking about women. All the internet censorship has to be related to women trying to control that narrative. When I first started my channel and it started to grow, and MGTOW channel started popping up out of the ground like weeds, I thought to myself, I can't believe that women can't silence us. The first step to silencing us was forcing us to contest the monetization for every single video we released and uploaded, and it had to be manually reviewed before we could earn any money from it. That went for all the MGTOW channels. This happened all the way in early 2017, up until the end of November 2018. At that point, the CNN documentary about MGTOW came out, and all my videos were demonetized. More importantly, every single MGTOW channel that used that acronym, and many that didn't, were also demonetized. At that point, I started to think, what would be the next course of action for them? Deplatforming channels would only work so far, because female captains of consciousness probably figured out that we would simply create other platforms like BitChute and Odyssey, and eventually our ideas would spread there for only much slower. Also, a lot of channels would drop MGTOW from the title, but still talk about female nature, so there was no way to stop it. So the next thing they would do is go after those platforms like BitChute and MGTOW.TV, and they did, and they're still standing. Then they went for Patreon with the attack on Sargon of Akkad a few years ago. I thought that would be the first such personality they attacked, but they realized quickly that their crowdsourcing websites would show up, like Subscribestar, not to mention Bitcoin. I also thought that they would throttle my channel down and others, which they have also done. So my predictions have all come true so far. But I haven't made any new ones since all those came true. So what's next? What now? Before I share more of my thoughts about what's going to happen to the manosphere as well as me, let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Rub Done Right. Season your meat with an award-winning original rub and black garlic steak seasoning. When you're done beating your meat and rubbing one out, get Rub Done Right. The flavor is amazing and it's healthier for you than white garlic. Also get a 15% discount if you use the promo code SANDMAN on their website. Remember, meat is murder. A tasty, delicious, well-seasoned murder. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to women trying to censor the internet so that men don't understand how cucked we really are in Clown World Show. At that point, I figured that once big tech gave way to alt tech, we would have won. Well, not exactly. My next prediction, and my last prediction, was that governments would basically take up censorship of their citizens directly in the West. Now we're seeing that with Bill C-10 and Bill C-36 in Canada. They've been postponed until the fall, but I think that's just temporary. Of course, in the United States, they can't shut you up the way they can here in Canada. So instead, if I were the elites, what I would do is introduce that cyber pandemic we hear Klaus Schwab talking so much about. Because not all governments can legislate the outlawing of freedom of speech. But they can do it in a sneaky way if they all have cyber pandemics, because they can issue online IDs so they can monitor everything you say or do online. Just in case you're one of those so-called Russian hackers that brought the cyber pandemic through. Let's assume that that's what they do. What's our next way to fight back if we can't use the censored internet? I think we have to use the technology they use on cruise ships on devices that aren't connected to the internet. For example, if you're on a cruise ship, you can use the Navigator app on the Disney Cruise Line, or Carnival Hub on the Carnival Cruise Line. It allows you to bounce your text messages through other networked phones until you get to the person that you want to reach on the other end of the ship. Basically, it's a peer-to-peer internet connection. Devices within range in big cities will be able to communicate with one another. At that point, the powers that be would have to destroy each and every single individual device to take everyone offline from spreading their ideas and communicating with one another. It would also be anonymous if you use a hacked device with no SIM card. In a big city like New York, you can in theory have 10 million people connect with each other without a service provider in their own private internet. So if that were to happen and I were the powers that be, what would I do next? Well, at that point, they could force people to use an ID to access the Microsoft ID, for example, on any computer that they use with that operating system. But what happens if Microsoft doesn't like your speech? Then they can deplatform you from their operating system entirely. So then you'll have to move to something like Linux-based phones and operating systems if such things exist. The more they try and take our freedom of speech on our devices away, the more we will fight back. Some people will leave to other countries. It might come down to that for myself if I face potential jail time for so-called hate speech in Canada. But how does predicting the future of censorship and freedom of speech to deal with women? Well, technology makes things cheaper and creates a world of abundance for everyone. But if you're a woman with high status and enjoys a good lifestyle, that's how you get your self-worth and value in society, by owning the nicest house and the best purse. Men also get and maintain their sexual access to the best women by having the highest status and wealth. If technology creates abundance and wealth, like the replicators on Star Trek, then the existing financial and social order will become toppled. How would those with wealth and status keep their attention and status if we live in a world where everyone could have whatever they wanted? Men want status and resources to attract and sleep with women. Women want those things to rub them in the face of other women. But women's material desire is never satisfied. It's all about more, more, more. There's an old story in video format by an old Russian politician named Vladimir Zhirinovsky, where he describes a story about how there will never be enough material wealth to satisfy women. The way I see it, if you want to end war and environmental degradation, then you have to end men competing with one another for women. And more importantly, you have to end women's desire for endless consumption. We're living in a world where men are competing with one another for the best women in a materialistic way. You can't have physical warfare right now, so instead we have economic and information warfare. The wives of the men in power don't want to lose their very high standard of life. And in fact, they demand an ever-increasing standard of living. If their standards start to fall, they get really pissed off and take out their pain on their husbands. When I was in my mid-20s, I went to Fiji and observed what happens when you bring a woman's material status high and then you bring it down. I was staying with a bunch of people in a very expensive villa that was around $1,500 a night for only one night. It was nothing special for that insane price. The next day we left and everyone was so pissed off but me. They were in one of the most beautiful places, yet they still felt the deprivation in Fiji by having to lower their standard from the night before by staying at someplace cheaper. The emotional pain of losing their villa was triggering the women, and they were so angry. So imagine women that have tons of attention and money, and suddenly they see other women with what they have, and now they need an even greater materialistic existence to be satisfied relative to those other chicks. What are they willing to do to prevent the pain of having to slum it without their villas? But more importantly, what are they willing to do to men so that we don't go our own way and keep all of our money instead of handing it over to them so they can enjoy their current way of life and increase it? Plus, they need attention too, which we take away. When I tell women that I tell men to stay single and not mingle and get married, they just get as mad as me as those women that got angry that had to leave their Fiji villa. It's the same emotion. It's like they see men as a consumable that gives them higher status. And it's like I'm impoverishing them by trying to free men. It's like they don't want to lose their main means of financial production. Communists always focus on the factories and lands as the main source of production. But women get it that it's men that are the ones that matter when it comes to providing goods. As women's material appetites have continued to rise, men in power have begun to steal from the poor by printing money, so that asset prices could rise so they can keep their women. That boost is creating greater wealth inequality and leading to the Cantillon effect. All the stuff that women buy has to come from somewhere. And it's been government and personal debt that have tried to satisfy that unsatisfiable desire. And now it's coming from money printing and stealing the value of the money in the pockets of poor people because women somewhere want to go on 4 vacations this year instead of 5. To what lengths are women willing to stoop to in order to get men to censor the men that refuse to give women the standard of living that they're accustomed to? The more men go their own way, the more we buy assets like real estate, Amazon stock, crypto, and other things that appreciate in value as the state prints money. The money printing impoverishes the people at the bottom because they have some cash, but little to no assets. So how will the elites adapt to that reality? I suspect that neo-Marxism will be forced on us at some point. Something similar to what we currently see in South Africa, where some or all of your assets will be confiscated because you need to make amends for your privilege. I don't think that's going to happen super quick, but it'll be more like boiling the MGTOW frog with regards to online censorship. I was talking to someone about this recently, and that's why I was inspired to make this video. And then I realized that socialist states typically last for one generation or 70 years. And that once the third generation is living through it, it no longer has a direct memory to the revolution, but is still suffering physically, and it starts to revolt in passive-aggressive ways. And the ruling class starts to feel it. At that point, the government needs to start allowing people to have some freedoms, or the whole thing collapses. For example, in Cuba, they're now allowing small farming businesses and other businesses too. In China, they built up their economy in a quasi-capitalist way. Marxists seem to be evolving to recognize that they need to give people some creature comforts, or the whole thing will come crashing down. But even in China, with asset bubbles forming everywhere and wealth inequality showing up, people are going their own way and lying flat. Is it possible that wealth inequality increases as women demand more and more, so the men at the top of the economic hierarchy have to print more and more in order to keep their negasaurus from driving them crazy? Because for women, the whole world is not enough. I've also just realized that the worst part of a leftist revolution comes fast and furious on the front end, and then slowly destroys the people that held their heads down over time. My goal was to buy real estate and insulate myself from the rise in money printing, but now I'm starting to think that might not actually be the best way to go. That if Kukistan's prime menstruator decides that it's time to redistribute the wealth, it's better to look poor on paper. They can't confiscate something if they can't find it or they can't get your password. This idea that it takes 70 years or the lifespan of one generation for socialism to fail, and in many countries it only took 10 or 20 years, is a great thing. It's showing me that the woke revolution we're seeing all around us might be over a lot sooner than we think. Just because the trend has been heading in that direction doesn't mean the trend can't change as quickly as it showed up. I remember in the 1990s there was a lot of political correctness that went away rather quickly in the late 90s and early 2000s. So just because wokesters are winning right now doesn't mean they will in the long run. As for women, I don't think they'll stop trying to censor the internet and control the cooch narrative. That's a different issue entirely. Anyways, that's it for today. Don't forget to smash the like button, the way that women will try and smash every outlet men have with regards to freedom of speech, so they can continue to enslave us. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Gab, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the same man for $45 US. And I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps the censorship that keeps getting increasingly worse and worse until we lose our freedom of speech and association away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.